In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us this sixth petition: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the sermon title tonight, deliver us from evil. Our text, 1 Peter 5, the apostle here makes it clear that we Christians must engage in spiritual warfare. And Peter tells us how to fight the good fight of faith. Though you don't see the word, it's by prayer, especially by prayer we engage in spiritual battle. For only God can give us the strength to stand against the devil, to resist all temptation, to stand against the rebellious course of the world, and even against our own sinful desires, the desires of our flesh. So, beloved in the Lord, let's turn now to the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 5, the holy and living Word of God here from chapter 5, starting at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word from 1 Peter 5 this evening. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and friends, from time to time, a dear brother or sister will tell me, Pastor, I pray for you. Oh, how I appreciate your prayers. And how thankful I am when the saints tell me that they pray for me. Because it is true, friends, pastors and teachers in the church and other leaders in the church, prime targets for Satan's arrows. You know that, right? I do believe that our great adversary, the devil, devotes a great deal of his energy toward pastors and other leaders in the church, trying to ruin the church by getting pastors to fall, right? And so I pray a great deal for myself. I pray much daily for the other leaders of this particular congregation, as well as many prayers for leaders throughout the church in all the world. I ask you, brothers and sisters, please continue to pray for your pastor and for leaders in the local church especially. Pray on a regular basis that God would protect us from temptation, preserve us in righteousness, help us be humble, always walking by faith in Jesus, because the devil does not quit. And dear brothers and sisters, pray for yourselves, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, Peter says here in verse 8. And he spoke to pastors and elders earlier in chapter 5, but in our passage, Peter is talking to all the saints. That should be clear. Satan is not focused only on leaders. Maybe he's focused a lot of the time, especially on leaders in the church, but not only on leaders, right? Satan is looking for anyone to devour. And he is always on the hunt. Therefore, Christians, you, beloved, you must always be on guard. All of us must remain in prayer, for it is God alone who can strengthen us to stand against the devil, strengthen us against all our spiritual enemies. It is God alone who can make us strong for spiritual battle, so that we might have complete victory in the end. Our theme tonight, friends, right out of 127 of the Catechism, I'm just looking to summarize that for you. Weak sinners must constantly pray. Deliver us from evil, because we can gain complete victory only by the strength that God gives us, right? Again, our theme, weak sinners, and that's what we are, all of us, weak sinners must constantly pray to God, deliver us from evil, because we can gain complete victory only by the strength that he gives. These past few weeks, I've done some teaching on last things, and included in that, I've also done a good bit of teaching on spiritual warfare. You know that. You've been hearing it week after week. And one of the points that I've made here recently, and I've made it so many times from this pulpit over the years, is that we are always to be engaged in spiritual warfare. And when I say always, I literally mean always. That may strike you as some crazy holdover from my Pentecostal days, but I assure you, friends, it is not. It is biblical truth. And our catechism, which, by the way, isn't a Pentecostal catechism. I don't know if there is one, but it's a Reformed catechism. And the Heidelberg tells us that we are always facing spiritual warfare. From answer 127, we are so weak. When we pray this, deliver us from evil, this is what we mean. Our God, we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. Did you hear that? Never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win complete victory. The Heidelberg says that our sworn enemies never stop attacking us. You know the words of Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, in this particular last line, the last petition, probably the best translation of the Greek: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There was a lot of evil, but you know what he means when he says the evil one. He's referring to the devil. If we were in spiritual battle against the devil alone, I suppose we would not always be in spiritual battle, because he's not God. The devil is mighty, and he's very cunning, and he's always at work, but after all, he's a creature. He's not everywhere present all the time. But the devil is the leader of a wicked kingdom. He rules the whole domain of darkness, and there are many evil servants doing his work. You'll notice the unholy trinity mentioned there in answer 127 of our catechism. Our sworn enemies are the devil, yes, but also the world and our own flesh. Look, dear saints, your great adversary, your ultimate enemy, is indeed the devil. But besides the devil and besides all of those demons that are consciously and constantly serving him, the whole world of sinful man is under the sway of Satan. And that means much temptation that we face day by day as we engage in regular routine life in the world. And your flesh, yes, your sinful nature is still with you, dear Christian. And it does not even need Satan. It does not need the demons or this wicked world to lead you into temptation. Your evil desires can tempt you, lead you into sin without any outside influence whatsoever. And Peter makes that point in this very letter. You remember that line from chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, your sinful nature, which wage war against your soul. Brothers and sisters, spiritual warfare is a constant reality within our own souls. If you're not alert to it, something is really wrong. We Christians remain sinners, constantly facing temptation of one sort or another, of one strength or another. And since the world, our flesh, and the devil never stop attacking us, we must constantly pray, Father in heaven, deliver us from the evil one, but from all our evil enemies. Beloved, we must keep praying it, because we cannot stand for one moment on our own. And that brings us to the first point tonight. If we know our weakness, we will pray much for God to deliver us from enemies that are way more than we can handle. Again, if we know our weakness, we will pray much for God to deliver us from enemies that are way more than we can handle. Bottom line is, you are not going to really pray, Lord, deliver me, unless you realize You're no match for the enemies that you face. And that's just right there in answer 127. We're so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, our own flesh, never stop attacking us. We're up against a lot, brothers and sisters. We're no match for that unholy trinity, the world, our flesh, and the devil. We have to recognize our weakness. Peter reminds us about our weakness in our passage. If you'll notice verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Now, the apostle has not mentioned spiritual warfare at this point, so you're thinking, well, yeah, that's right, Pastor. He gets to that later. In the next couple of verses, he gets to spiritual warfare, but that's not spiritual warfare, Pastor. Verses 6 and 7, this is just routine life with dealing with the common troubles of this world, typical troubles of your daily lives in this world. Come on. You know yourself better than that, right? Most of you know quite well that some of the strongest temptation you ever face strikes when you are filled with anxiety, stress, fear, and frustration. Because that is when you feel your weakness as creatures the most. And when you feel that creaturely weakness, that is when you are most spiritually vulnerable. Vulnerable to temptation, which is why Peter, in the very next verse, goes to spiritual warfare. Verse 8. "Be so reminded, be watchful, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Look, when you are gripped by anxiety, when you are gripped by stress and fear and typical burdens of daily life, yeah, the typical ones, some of us face them daily. That's spiritual warfare. Right there. Do not be a proud fool who tries to solve the problem on your own. You will fall into temptation and you will, I can almost guarantee it, fall to temptation. You'll try to solve it by going to alcohol to numb you from the anxiety. You'll try to solve it by checking out and indulging in entertainment to distract you from the trouble. You'll deal with a difficult person, somebody who's really making life miserable for you in the workplace, by resorting to intimidation, slander, or just avoidance. You don't think that's spiritual temptation? That's exactly what Peter's talking about. Let's not be proud fools who try to handle these things on our own, but recognize our weakness, that we do not have the ability to handle the situation properly through our own wisdom and righteousness. And then, beloved, let us, in that weakness, humbly cast our anxieties on the Lord God. For he's a loving Father who cares for his children. Let's pray to him. Father, I right now I'm feeling the weakness, and I know that I'm spiritually vulnerable. Please lead me not in temptation. Which just means lead me out of temptations. Because, Father, they do not come from you. They come from the world, my flesh, and the devil. Deliver me from these temptations. I've said it many times, we do not pray because we're so spiritually strong. That's not why Christians pray, out of a place of spiritual strength. We pray because we know our weakness. Peter says, be watchful in verse 8. And I want to make it clear, it should be perfectly clear to you who have any familiarity with the New Testament. Be watchful means pray. Peter says be watchful. He means be prayerful. He calls us to pray because Peter knows that we are weak. You remember the story, Matthew 26. You don't have to turn there, but Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. This is the night of his arrest. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he takes Peter, James, and John with him. And he says, watch with me for a while. And he then goes away and he prays. Of course, he meant for them to do the same, to pray for Jesus. He's going to face his darkest hour. But of course, they're to pray for themselves. He had just told them that very night, God's going to strike the shepherd and all the sheep are going to scatter. especially you, Peter. No, not me, Lord, never. No, actually, especially three times you'll deny me. So when the Lord Jesus says, watch with me, perfectly clear what he means. Don't watch me pray. You better be in prayer, he says to Peter, James, and John. A couple verses there from Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41. He does some of his praying, and then he comes back. And the Lord Jesus found them, Peter, James, and John, sleeping. And he said to Peter, he singles Peter out, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter learned the hard way because he fell. And he denied the Lord three times. And he wept bitterly. And then, learning his lesson through God's grace because Jesus restored him, Peter comes and writes this letter to the church. And he says, watch, be watchful, be sober-minded. Your enemy, your great adversary, the devil, always on the hunt to devour you. You know, we are so weak, not only in our creatureliness, but also in our sinfulness, so weak that for God to save us, he had to send his own son to live and die in our place. That's what it took for him to save us, weak sinners. Romans 5, you know the passage. While we were weak, this is what our gracious God did for us. He became one of us, like us in every way. He became man and he went to the cross. Reconciled us, enemies of God, to himself through his bloody death on the cross. Brothers and sisters, we remain weak sinners, and so we plead that God would forgive us our daily sins, and we know the Father does it every time for the sake of Christ. But he wants us to go to him for deliverance from temptation, deliverance from all spiritual enemies, so that we would not sin. Realize your weakness, yes, as a creature, and especially realize your weakness as a sinner, and cry out to God for deliverance daily. Cry out to him to deliver you from your enemies, for strength to stand against all spiritual foes. He does not mean for you to triumph in your own strength, you know. Beloved, the Lord your God means to prove himself your faithful God and Savior as he answers your prayers, as he delivers you from your enemies, as he gives you strength for spiritual warfare. Remember the cross and cast your troubles on the Lord who cares for you. My second point, if we ask for God's strength, we shall receive and we shall persevere in spiritual warfare until we attain complete victory. Again, my second point, friends, if we ask for God's strength, we shall receive it and then persevere in spiritual warfare until we attain complete victory. Back to our catechism lesson in answer 127, it says we pray that God would deliver us from evil because we're so weak, we can't stand for one moment, right? Notice the second part of that answer there, 127. And so, Lord, here's the critical part of the prayer. Uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but rather may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. If we are too weak to stand, we pray to God because he is mighty to save, right? And yes, mighty to secure our full salvation, which he's done through the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus. But also mighty to save us from our spiritual enemies moment by moment. Yes, to rescue us from ourselves again and again. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul has a very important thing to tell us about temptation that we face in the Christian life. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Dear saints, you have to know how we Christians discover that way of escape. Prayer. Actually, prayer itself very often is the way of escape, as many of you know. You're facing strong temptation. You call out to God for deliverance. What do you know? He rescues you out of temptation. And now some of you hear that and you say, come on, Pastor, that is not how it works. I've done that so many times and it didn't work and I ended up sinning, though I had just prayed that the Lord would deliver me from temptation. Well, see, that's your fault because you stopped praying. Sometimes you have to keep praying and praying and praying until you get right on through that temptation. But eventually you escape because God is faithful. I've never heard of a Christian who prays right through temptation and then ends up falling to the temptation anyway. We need to remember God is faithful. He hates sin. He loves you and me. His beloved children in Christ, cry out for deliverance and watch your holy and loving God work. Believe his promise. You know, listen, that is the bottom line here. Will we believe that God is who he says he is? Will we trust him to do what he has promised to do? He will give you the Holy Spirit. That's right there in our catechism, answer 127. Lord, uphold us, make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, where our Lord gives us the Lord's Prayer, I mean, it's in Matthew chapter 6, but there's the other version in Luke 11. And after he teaches his disciples to pray, Jesus concludes by telling us to ask, and we shall receive, right? And so repetitive, and knock, and it will be open. All of these commands, ask, seek, knock, right? But promises, it will be given to you. And at the end of that teaching, what does he say? What you should ask God to give you above all? The Holy Spirit. Not for your, you know, conversion, like your first moment of realization you're a sinner, you need Christ, pray for the Holy Spirit. That's not, I don't believe that's what Jesus means at all. Pray in time of need, in time of temptation for the Holy Spirit. You fathers ask for you fathers who are evil, Jesus says in Luke 11, your children ask you for bread, you don't give them a stone or a serpent, right? How much more your loving and holy Heavenly Father, when he hears that you're in trouble and you call out to him for the Holy Spirit, how much more readily will he give? Pray that God would give you the Holy Spirit, beloved. Really, that he would increase the working of the Spirit who can strengthen you and me to resist temptation and to renounce sin, even to overcome evil by doing good. So Peter warns us in verse 8 about the devil, that lion on the hunt. This enemy and all other enemies are too much for us weak sinners. But Peter says in verse 9, resist him, resist the devil, firm in your faith. See, we can stand against our adversary, the devil, only by faith. And Peter means for us to look to God in faith and to exercise faith by pleading with God for deliverance. Pleading that he would strengthen us by the power of the Spirit to resist temptation, overcome evil by doing good, keep on serving and striving when we feel like giving up, persevere in this spiritual warfare. Make it your prayer of faith, beloved, so that you may fight on, so that you would persevere in that spiritual fight until you gain complete victory. For that is precisely what God promises to give us through his abounding grace in Jesus. Verse 10 in our passage, 1 Peter 5, verse 10, Peter says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God the Father has called us not ultimately to battle. Right, thank God for that. Yes, battle for a time, but ultimately he's called us to victory, as Peter says, to eternal glory in Jesus. And since our Savior's precious blood was shed to bring us to eternal glory, we can be certain that our God and Father will not forsake us. He will strengthen us to press on until we reach the glorious end through his faithfulness. And making this our prayer, dear saints, we will conclude not with fear and with worry, but with confidence. and with praise for our mighty God and Savior, as Peter concludes here, verse 11, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's how the Lord's Prayer concludes, right? In our Catechism 128, how do you conclude this prayer? The answer there, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This means we have made all these petitions of you, our God, because as our all-powerful King, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. Finally, what does that little word amen express? Amen means this shall truly and surely be. It's from a Hebrew word that means truth. This shall truly and surely be, for it is much more certain that God has heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire such things from him. So thirdly, friends, my third and last point tonight, we conclude our prayers with the confidence of praise for our sovereign Savior. We conclude our prayers with the confidence of praise for our sovereign Savior. The kingdom belongs to the great King, all creation now and always under the sovereign dominion of the Almighty Creator. And that means, yes, all our enemies are firmly under his rule. And that, you know, I realize that's a difficult thing to even consider. He's calling us into battle, and yet God, he can deliver us entirely apart from our ever being tempted or ever needing to pray. Well, that's not how he works. But he is sovereign. He is in control of our enemies. Satan can work a lot of mischief, can inflict a lot of harm. But that lion is on a leash firmly in the hand of our sovereign God and Savior. He can go no farther than God permits. We have nothing to fear with God on our side. We can be confident he will give us complete victory, for he is all powerful and he is most loving. Look, he has already given us his everlasting kingdom, a gift of his grace in Christ, who has already achieved victory over the world, victory over our flesh, our sinfulness, victory over the devil and all the powers of darkness. Jesus has gained that victory by his life, death, and resurrection. Kingdom salvation is already ours because of God's grace in Christ. We can be confident he will keep us and give us complete victory in the end. And beloved, we should express this confidence, as I say, we should express this confidence in our God and Savior by offering praise. I mean, we're going through the Lord's Prayer. This is really about how you pray. That you pray in the first place. How often you pray as well. What sort of things you pray. Is there praise in your prayers? It's been a few months since we started considering the Lord's Prayer, but I remind you that praise is implied in the very beginning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I mean, praise is implied there. But our catechism teaches us that praise really should be explicit in our prayers. Not only because God deserves it, but also because of the confidence that he works in us, the confidence he restores to our hearts as we pray. It's all over the Psalms. And if you put God to the test in this way, by praying, you find it to be true. He restores confidence to us, the anxiety gone. He restores joy to us. Oh, the sorrows may not be gone, but the joy is there. Remember this, beloved, your God much more wants to hear and answer your prayers than you even desire the things for which you pray. So let's praise him in the confidence of the victory and the kingdom that he guarantees to us who trust in Christ. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.